Rob Rossi is the sports editor of Upgroove and host of Trib Live Radio, and he's covering the Pittsburgh Penguins. We know him well. How are you?
Pretty good, gentlemen. How are you today?
Ah, we're busy. Lots of things happening. The Ottawa Senators. Actually, I saw you. You've been all over Twitter in this postseason. I saw last night. You said, "Yeah, they lost 5-1. The Penguins did, but they'll. Did you say win in six? What's your feeling?"
Yeah. Well, I said six games going into the series, so I'm going to stick with that. But yeah, I think the tendency is to greatly overreact to every game in these Stanley Cup playoffs. I'm not going to overreact to last night. I'm not going to overreact to this series so far. I think it's exactly where it should be. Ottawa was better in game one and much better in game three. Pittsburgh was better in game two. You know, I've seen this Pittsburgh team, the bulk of it, you know, go into places like Washington and win games when needed. San Jose win games when needed. They won a road game at Tampa Bay last year facing elimination. So I'm not going to look at a 2-1 series deficit, especially when they were blown out at home in game six against Washington with a chance to win that series and then went to game seven. I'd be much more concerned about the Penguins had they been playing well and losing these games. But they haven't. So I think if they play better, they'll come out of there with a split, and then it's a best of five.
The only thing is with this Penguins blue line, there's only a certain ceiling, right? And it's thin. And last night, I saw a blue line that couldn't move the puck. And boy, I don't want to doubt Malkin. I don't want to doubt Crosby or the coaching staff, because you know that doesn't seem to be a real sustainable thing in today's NHL. But that blue line, it's banged up, and you know, it's tough to pretend it's not.
Well, look, it's tough to pretend the Penguins are anywhere close to healthy. Now, the argument you'll be getting from people is that nobody's healthy this time. That's true. I mean, Erik Karlsson's playing on a foot that has a stress fracture. But, I mean, the Penguins are missing their version of Karlsson and Letang. They've been missing him all postseason. That has a cumulative effect. I mean, last night they dressed seven because two of those seven they don't feel are you know, healthy enough to be one. And I'm talking about Daly and, of course, Mark Streit. So, look, that is a problem. I think the other thing is let's not overlook the fact that they're up front, they're dealing with some absences that are key. I think it's far less likely that Dion Phaneuf would be as effective doing what he's doing physically right now if Patrick Hornqvist was still in this series. He hasn't been. Patrick Hornqvist is a physical player. He's not the type that's going to fight you a lot, but he's a deterrent out there, and the Penguins don't have many physical deterrents. I don't think it's an accident that Phaneuf has been able to be a real physical presence to the Penguins without really being checked in the games that Hornqvist wasn't there. They're also missing Brian Rust, who had been giving them the bulk of their secondary scoring. I mean, they've got three goals in this series, and they're from the three best goal scorers for the Penguins, Malkin, Crosby, and Kessel. They're going to need more from Malkin, Crosby, and Kessel to get out of this series, because they are limited in some of the ways they can do that, some of the areas they can make an impact. But I think there are things they can do strategically that would help them. I think you'll see a team more reliant on a trap that it used at times against Washington, against these Senators. I think that would be the smart way to play it, for the Penguins to trap it up in the neutral zone a little bit. I think you're going to see some changes made to their lines. I would have to imagine at some point Mike Sullivan thinks towards splitting or pairing Crosby, Malkin, and Kessel, putting them all on different lines to force the Senators at that point to have to defend a little bit differently than they have been right now. But the Senators are playing really well. They're getting great goaltending in this series, and their coach threw a real curveball at the Penguins early in that game yesterday, and the Penguins did not handle it. So it'll be fascinating to see what goes on tomorrow night.
Speaking of decisions Mike Sullivan has to make, and apparently he does, because he did not name a starter for game four yesterday, which is spicy. I mean, of course, Matt Murray is supposed to start the postseason, gets injured in warm-ups at game one, and then Marc-Andre Fleury goes ridiculous. What kind of a story is this? Is this a legitimate possibility? It seems like it might be.
Yeah, I mean, I think the fact, look, I think I, I, Mike Sullivan's won a Stanley Cup and is a much smarter man than me, so for me to question him would seem foolish. But let me say this. I think he made a mistake last night not naming his starter. He has to know, right? He has to know who he wants to start game four. If it's Matt Murray, end the debate. I think that would be the fairest thing to do to your team. Forget the feelings of Marc-Andre Fleury. If Matt Murray's going to be the guy to reclaim this job, then name it and move on with that. If not, hey, say it's Marc-Andre Fleury. To me, by letting it drag out, you only inject even more drama into an already dramatic situation because you're the highest remaining seed in the playoffs. You're the defending Stanley Cup champions. You're now down 2-1 to a team everybody thinks you should be beating, and you're not scoring goals. Your defense is banged up. Your forwards are a bit depleted. I mean, you got a lot of issues here. Why create more drama with a goaltending dynamic that is unnecessary? To me, it's an easy call. You start Marc-Andre Fleury. If you decide to pull him again for whatever reason, then Matt Murray's probably the guy the rest of the series and probably the guy the rest of the postseason. Mm-hmm. But to me, to go to Matt Murray, and then if Matt Murray has to be perfect to keep his job, you can't keep going back and forth, right? To me, it makes all the sense in the world to start Marc-Andre Fleury, who right now is the reason you're in this conference final. He had two shutouts in his three previous games, and then the other game he allowed two goals. I mean, was he great in the first period? No, but if you're not going to start everybody that wasn't great, the Penguins would be back in Pittsburgh right now.
Mark, I would agree with the sentiment that, you know, I just go back to Fleury. This is much like it was, hey, listen, this is Matt Murray's run last year. This is Marc-Andre Fleury's run. That's where we're at. And yeah, if you lose or if you have to pull them, you get one pull, and then it's probably Murray's ball the rest of the way. I think Marc-Andre Fleury's a really fascinating guy in Pittsburgh because, listen, common sense dictates that, you know, you go with Matt Murray for the next 6 to 7 years. He is the new Marc-Andre Fleury. I'm sure, well, I'll ask you, I'm not in Pittsburgh. I assume Marc-Andre Fleury is beloved. I know he's liked by teammates. He's liked by Sid, and this is pretty much it for him as a Penguin, I think, right?
Yeah, I mean, short of winning the Stanley Cup, being the Conn Smythe, and the Penguins in 10 days trading Matt Murray for what would be the equivalent of a number one defenseman and a top six forward, I don't think there's any way Marc-Andre Fleury is a Penguin next year. I would say he is maybe the most beloved athlete I've ever covered in Pittsburgh.
Really?
I don't know that. Yeah, I mean, I don't. In terms of by his teammates, I don't know that there's ever been a teammate. Players have always respected Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin, but I've never heard one person even hint at an issue with Marc-Andre Fleury. And I think any doubt, if there was any, and I don't believe there was, the fact that he lost his job to injury last year and never really got a chance to take it back until an injury to Matt Murray this postseason. And look, I'm pretty close with him. I've heard him talk about it with me, but he's never gone even so far as to complain in private conversations that would make me think, boy, I have to write something here. He's an incredible teammate. So there's going to be a market for him, especially with the way he's played this postseason. I mean, he's still showing you he's a top 10 goalie in this league. He's not the reason this series is the way it is. To me, this isn't really an issue. Because as I've said, when you have Marc-Andre Fleury and Matt Murray as healthy options, you don't have a goaltending problem. You have a goaltending situation that's probably going to more likely be a solution.
Yeah.
Because either one of those guys can win you a Stanley Cup.
While we're talking about perception, perceived notions of players, what's Phil Kessel's? Because he was so close, and there was a good argument to be made last year during that Cup run that he was Conn Smythe Award worthy. He didn't get it. Of course, Sid did. But and then in yesterday's game comes together with old pal Dion Phaneuf. Like, there's a good section of hockey fans that laugh at Phil. He's a fun guy to laugh at the pictures that are online of him trying to look good in whatever poses. But is he becoming a legendary figure now in Pittsburgh, considering his playoff successes?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think Phil's found the right place, right? Because he never has to be the guy here. And because of that, He's sort of allowed to be Phil. I think he's brought a lot to this team in terms of, you guys are going to laugh at this, character. You know, this was a very tight group. They were a group that I think needed somebody to loosen them up a little, and Phil's done that. And I think that's paid dividends for them last year and this year. And look, because he's in Pittsburgh where they have Crosby and Malkin, they just need him to be Phil Kessel and score some big goals, and he's done that for the most part. Probably going to have to do that more going against Phaneuf, going against these Ottawa Senators for the Penguins to advance. But, you know, if you look at Phil's track record going back to his days with Toronto and Boston, he's been a good player in the big moments. So, and that's what the Penguins are paying him for. You know, they pay him all that money in the regular season so that when the playoff comes around and there's not really any checks being made, it's almost like Phil's like, okay, well, now I'll be worth it. And, yeah, I mean, he's a real popular guy amongst the fan base here. I think because a lot of them look at a guy that, you know, he does the fun stuff, right? He scores goals. He skates real fast. He doesn't seem to take conditioning so seriously that it, you know, he can't have a cookie every once in a while or a dozen. And I think people like that. He's kind of like a Pittsburgher version of a hockey player.
Yeah, this just kind of came to my head before we go. In retrospect, seeing what Nashville's doing, seeing what Pittsburgh's doing, I really like when a hockey trade works for hockey reasons. And the Hornquist for Neil seems to be one of those trades, doesn't it?
Yeah, although I'll say this. In James Neal, they gave up a 30-goal scorer who had a real nice cap number, who had a lot of his best years ahead of him. And they did get back Hornquist, but they also brought back, and I forget his name now, I apologize. They brought back more cap money in that deal, and they ended up having to move that. And because they traded James Neal, they ended up having to go get Phil Kessel. So I look at it like this. Had they kept James Neal, they might not have Phil Kessel here. They definitely wouldn't have Patrick Hornquist here.
They might not have a cup.
They probably wouldn't have, they might not have the cup they won. So I'm happy for James. I'm happy for Phil. I'm happy for Patrick. I would be unhappy for me if it's Nashville and Pittsburgh because, as I've said to everybody that might cover that series, at some point our livers only function so much.